Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the show where we go more in depth into the articles that are there on CatherineColleen.com. You can also get there by going to KOABD.com, and you can send in your questions and we'll answer them here. And I often just reply directly right back to you as well. So you can put your questions in on the community page at the website, or you can send them to questions at koabd.com. So today we are talking about something that I am really, really excited to share. With all the work that you've seen, you know, posted out there on the website, you can see I've been doing a lot of research into processes that we all go through, personal development processes, spiritual development processes. And the big deal that came about is that my journey from first waking up to getting to a point where I felt like I was actually at peace and connected to who I am and connected to my purpose and connected to where I want to go. And that feeling that I sought after, that took me 12 years to get there. And I kept thinking that I really, really hope it doesn't have to take the average person 12 years to get there. I went about finding a way to really speed this up. And so as I researched it, what I found is that although your journey is your journey and the destination where you're going to end up is unique to you, the path to get there, the road to get there, is not unique at all. And this is really, really good news. So as I was wondering if what I had gone through was unique, I found that it was not at all unique. And I found that many before me had documented stages of human development and written down a series of stages that we all go through. And there are more researchers out there who have done this than I could possibly name. But the big ones are Keegan and Fowler, and there are many others. And I certainly don't mean to leave anybody out, but Keegan did some fantastic work on social stages that we all go through. And Fowler did some great work on religious and spiritual stages that we all go through. And then I did my own digging around. And because I looked at the stages that Keegan had, and I looked at the stages that Fowler had shown, and I saw that Fowler's stages kind of linked up on the tail end of Keegan's with a little bit of overlap. But I thought that, you know, people like the Dalai Lama, like Mother Teresa, like Gandhi, Mandela, and other significant figures had clearly gotten a lot farther than the farthest stage that Keegan and Fowler had come up with. And so I wondered what were their additional stages? And in the end, I found that each of these sets of stages had significant overlap and they linked up nicely to form a coherent path of development that we all walk. And so what I did is, of course, as the researcher I like to be, is I wrote it all up. And so on the website right now is an article. And the title of it, you can go there and find it, is called Complete Connection, A Roadmap for Self-Development. And this is the big freaking deal. So as I looked at these stages that we all go through, this is hugely insightful. So huge thanks to the amazing researchers that came before me, the shoulders of the giants that I'm standing on. Here's what I found. That although your hopes and your dreams and the life that you ultimately want to craft for yourself are completely unique to you, what you're experiencing right now in your desire for self-development is not unique at all. Everybody hits that at some point. So you're in great company. Each of us here in the human experience develops along the same path from birth. There are 11 stages of development that you can experience that does not guarantee that you will. You might. And almost everyone wakes up at some point in their lives. And it's usually between stages 3 and 6. And we're going to talk about the stages here in a minute. And usually that waking up looks like, you might label it a midlife crisis. or a quarter life crisis these days. That's something that's happening. And sort of waking up. So how do you know if you've woken up? Have you ever had, and since you're listening to this podcast, I suspect that you have, had a day where you look in the mirror and it feels like somebody else is looking through your eyes. Like you just woke up and somebody drove the car into the ditch and you just realized it. It's this sense that you've connected with the being inside of you, the observer inside of you, and that something has changed. And you're looking at yourself almost like you've never looked at yourself before. And that's called waking up. And usually when you do that, you get to a point where you may be unhappy with certain elements of yourself or your life. And you go about a journey of self-improvement. You might call it self-mastery or life mastery. Basically getting your shit together. And it's a great journey to be on. And when you wake up and you decide to take that journey, most people tend to wake up in their 40s, sometimes 50s, although that's starting to edge earlier these days, and that's actually a really good thing. Some people wake up much later or not at all. Some wake up and decide not to take the journey and essentially go back to sleep. And earlier stages are not lesser. In fact, they are essential and must be completed, or you will keep being pulled back into them again and again. The large majority of people in the Western world do not make it past stages 5 or 6. And they spend most of their days in stages 5 or 6 and choose to stay there. So let me explain. So there are 11 stages. And the really important thing is that they are not a staircase. So if you go look up Keegan, you go look up Fowler, you'll see it as a linear path or a staircase. It's like a game, right? Like you're trying to get to the top. But we do not move from stage to stage in a linear fashion. And we do not achieve the next stage and stay there forever, and then achieve the next stage, and stay there, and then achieve the next stage. That's not how it works. It's not a staircase. It's not a straight line. It's a circle. It's a cycle that you cycle through these stages over and over again. And sometimes you skip some of them, and sometimes you don't. But each stage has within it certain very critical tasks that you need to complete. And if you don't, life inherently will pull you back to that stage to complete those tasks. So it's a cycle of human development. And we traverse it over and over again. And we pick up the pieces and complete stages as we revisit them over the course of our lives. So even as you spend more time in later stages, you will periodically be pulled back to earlier stages by major life events like injuries or family issues or election cycles and so on. And you can't avoid coming around the cycle again, but you can spend a lot less time in the earlier stages where life is kind of hard and negative emotions tend to dominate. And you can spend a lot more time in the later stages where life is easy and joyous and fulfilling and peaceful. So that thing you're seeking is a sense of some sense of completion of this journey around this cycle. That's what you're looking for. So if you go to the website, you can see a graphic of the cycle. So stage 1 and stage 11 are essentially the same. So I've put them in the middle of the circle with some added richness. And so the irony that we enter this world with the right idea and then have to kind of work our way back to it does not escape me. The universe has a great sense of humor. So let's take a look at these stages. So stage 1 and stage 11. Everything is me. Infants, and Keegan again did the foundation of this, newborn infants do not believe that they are separate from their mom and dad. They don't have this sense that they are separate. And you actually come into the world with the right idea, which is the goofy thing. But then you get into stage 2 because you start having experiences. In stage 2, you start to realize that your experiences are not you. And your reflexes are not you. And it's about this time that you start to have a sense of the universe or the divine, that is not you either. And you decide whether or not the universe or the divine is safe or unsafe, just based on your experiences. And then from there we get into stage 3, where you identify almost completely with your needs. So as you start to recognize some separation from mom and dad, that I'm separate from them, I'm a different human from them, and then you start to realize I am not my experiences, I am not the divine, I am not my reflexes, what am I? And you form a self. And this psychological self is absolutely critical to just getting through the day. So in stage 3, you form a self, and that self is based entirely on your needs, all kinds of needs. So as small children, your needs are very focused on food and sleep and love and attention from your parents and toys and things like that, which is why we see the tantruming toddler when they don't get what they want, because they completely identify themselves with what they think their needs are. And when those needs are not met, they throw a fit, because what you're actually doing is denying their own self. So stage 3 is I am my needs. And it's a very difficult stage, kind of very nasty stage to be in. Stage 4, when you get there, if you can get past stage 3 and stop being a little tyrant, stage 4 is I am my needs and other people have needs too. So I am my needs and they are their needs. So you're still identifying with your needs, but at least you recognize that other people have needs too. And this is a huge step forward, because people who get to stage 4 often start behaving a little bit more nicely. They're a little bit more pleasant to be around. They're a little bit less manipulative. They're still focused on their needs, but in recognizing that other people have needs too, you start recognizing the humanity of other people. It's not a full recognition of the humanity of others, but it is a really good step in the right direction. And this is the stage where you're capable now of feeling shame or guilt, usually about the way you behaved when you were in stage 3, I am my needs. So if you get past stage 4, which is I am my needs, and you are your needs, everybody has needs, everybody else has needs too beyond me, then you can get to stage 5. Stage 5 is is where you identify yourself based on your ideology. And this is a shift that tends to happen for most people in the teenage years, but this is a stage that can last for an extraordinarily long time. Most people, well, I don't know about most, but there's large chunks of people that may never get past stage five. Stage five is I am my ideology. Now, ideology could be your political ideology. It could be a religious ideology, social or moral ideology. It just could be an ideology about the universe at large. And it's a combination of all these things, all the things that you believe to be true, all the rules by which you choose to live your life. All these things are your ideology. And in stage five, this becomes the foundation of your definition of who you are. And so it's, I'm a this religion. I'm a this political affiliation. I'm one of these. I'm one of those. And you start identifying with these ideological groups. And let me start getting into some little bit of extra detail here, because in stage five, because you're defining yourself based on a set of social and moral and political and religious values, you tend to have a strong sense of the need for laws and ethical codes, and anything that conflicts with your ideology is very offensive. So if you're spending a lot of time in stage five, then you're usually spending a lot of time feeling offended because there's all kinds of people out there that don't agree with you. So if you have spent any time today feeling offended, you were in stage five. And so the problem with stage five is the challenge there is you can tend to see other people with other ideologies as lesser or lower than you, or not human at all, or deserving of bad things. And this is where we get this horrific fighting that we can tend to see sometimes, at least here in the U.S. and a few other countries are having problems as well, is because you have one group of people who are just soaking in their ideologies, fighting with another group of people who are just soaking in their ideologies, and it can become violent. And a great example of this, ISIS. Soaking in their ideology to the point that they will murder freely. Not good. So people in stage five can be extraordinarily hard to get along with unless you happen to share the same ideology. And then you get along great. You get along famously. But you have to be really, really careful. So this is hard for the person who's in stage five, though. Because when you are so focused on your own ideology, and anything goes against it, that's an attack on your very self. That's an attack on you. You take it really personally, which is why you feel offended and or upset. And so stage five is not one that you necessarily want to spend a lot of time in if you can avoid it. Why? Because I don't want to spend my day upset, angry, offended, lashing out at other people, or just kind of crying and upset about because somebody else believes something different. I don't think people really want to live that way. So you want to try to get to stage six. Stage six, which comes next, is what I call to each their own. I am my ideology and other people are their ideologies and it's all good. This is a stage where you start to detach from the need to defend the self so much. And so you see the pattern here. So in stage three, four, five, six, it went like this. I am my needs. Other people have needs too, and that's fine. I am my needs, and they are their needs. Then I am my ideology, and then other people have ideologies too, and I am mine, and they are theirs, and this is fine. And so in stage six, you can put yourself in other people's shoes and you can feel what it's like to be them. And as such, you could see why they might have a different ideology, right? And remember, ideologies could be political or religious or social or moral or any combination of values that you live your life by. But in stage six, you can actually kind of put yourself in their position and say, oh, you know, seeing how they grew up and what they've been through, I could see why they would feel that way. I could see why they would have that value set. I get it. And in that instance, you really don't feel offended by it. You can see where they're coming from and you go, oh, yeah, I get how you would think that way. Yeah, that's cool, whatever. It doesn't mean you agree with it, but you can see where they're coming from. And you can consider other ideologies without feeling like yours is being attacked and without attacking others. So when you reach a stage where you may be steeping in your ideology quite a bit, you may be reading a lot of stuff that reinforces your ideology for you, or you may be listening to things that reinforce your ideology for you. But you can hear an alternate ideology and not feel upset, not feel a need to attack them as bad people or stupid or anything like that. When you don't feel offended and you don't feel like you need to lash out, but you still love to soak in your ideology, you're in stage six. Now, at the same time as stage six, you reflect on the inconsistencies and the complexities in your ideologies. Every ideology has a little bit of hypocrisy in it, a little bit of complexity, a little bit of inconsistency. It's got some cracks. It's not perfect. I've never seen one that was. And in stage six, you kind of reflect on those inconsistencies. You see the cracks and you're comfortable with that. You're like, well, that's okay. No ideology is perfect. This is mine. This is fine. But you start to think that there might be something more. You might start to think that there's a larger perspective or a larger truth that you're missing. And this is the bridge point between stage six and stage seven. And this is why a lot of people do not choose to move past stage six ever. There's a fear that if you move forward seeking this larger perspective or this larger truth that you think you might be missing, there's a fear that if you do that, if you go chasing that, that things are going to change. That you fear that in what may be a time of questioning things, that you may lose some of the things that you've grown accustomed to or that you grew up with. A lot of people will fear that they're going to lose connection to their faith if they chase this larger truth, if they take the journey or continue the journey. And so some of these fears are well-founded and some are not. The true thing that you fear, although I hope you don't fear it, is that things will change. Things will drastically change. And there's a very important warning about that in the Roadmap article. So I recommend kind of reading it all. That a lot of things are going to change. But what you don't need to fear is losing connection to your faith. If you have a religion right now, that's actually useful. If you don't have a religion right now, that's okay too. In fact, this journey, if you have a faith, can bring you closer to it. This is not separate from. But as if with all relationships, your relationship to your faith cannot deepen unless you break it and create a new one. And it's in the same sense that your connection to yourself and this life cannot deepen and solidify unless you, in a sense, break it. And that's what stage seven is about. Stage seven is questioning everything. It's a stage where we are rejecting all ideologies. We reject them all. We wipe the slate clean and question everything. And this is a very difficult stage to go through, and that's why most people don't do it. It's a stage where instead of defining yourself based on your needs or based on your ideology, you tend to define yourself as a child of God, a child of the universe, a child of Allah, I'm a child of the divine, something along those lines. So in this stage, in an effort to understand what you're missing, you question everything. You get the realization that happiness cannot be found in the outside world. And because you will have been looking and you couldn't find it. And this is a source of disappointment, but it's also a source of hope. You reject all ideologies for now while you question them. And what used to be in stage six, you had doubts, just some sort of shadowy doubts. Those doubts actually become meaningful, actionable questions. And that's a good thing. This is a stage of great exploration, of seeking of truth. But sometimes you can feel lonely because others are still devoted to their ideologies and they don't understand why you're questioning it. And you tend to question and undertake this stage in private because of the risk of being alienated from your friends or from the communities that share those same ideologies. And if they are still in stage five, they're not going to appreciate you questioning it, right? It's going to make them angry and offended. So stage seven is very, very existential stage. Existential depressions come out in stage seven. But I don't think it has to be that way. Stage seven can be a time of exploration, experimentation, questioning, researching. It could be fun, but for most people, it's a time of potentially some very bad decisions. If you are in stage seven, do not make any drastic changes in this stage. Don't do anything stupid, because this is the stage where you're likely to make some bad choices. Because as you've rejected all ideologies and you're questioning all ideologies, you don't have as much of a value system guide for yourself. So it's a good idea to at least put some rules in place. But if you can get through it, you get to stage eight. Stage eight is where you still identify as a child of the universe or child of the divine. But you've cycled through several belief sets trying to find one that fits. And then eventually, instead of rejecting all ideologies, you actively examine them and find the parts that are true. You know, what's the same about them all? If you took all the political ideologies, what's the same? And don't tell me nothing. There's something. Get past the issues and really dig down deep. There's a truth at the heart of all of them. Look at all religions. There's a truth at the heart of all of them. Get past the details. Dig down deeper for the base true principles, and you'll find that they're connected. And instead of rejecting the ideologies, in stage eight, you actively examine them. You find the parts that are true. You see connections and relationships between them. You see the interdependent truth at the heart of all the ideologies, and you use that to anchor yourself. And most importantly, in stage eight, you surrender to not knowing all the answers. So what was this quest for truth and answers in stage seven, you kind of in stage eight, you get this, a little bit of an answer to that, this truth at the heart of everything. And then you kind of give up needing to know everything else. You sort of develop a sense that the answers will come. And stage 8 is such a beautiful stage to be in. It's really very lovely because you've got something to anchor yourself to now. And that feels nice. You still question, but not quite as vehemently, and it's not nearly as dangerous a stage. And so if you can get that far, then you can get to stage 9. In stage 9, you move from identifying yourself as a child of the divine to identifying yourself as a consciousness in the body. And so this is a neat stage because you start to recognize that you are not this body. You are a consciousness inside the body. And so in stage 9, you see religions and people and ideology and places and everything as one coherent whole. And love is at the heart of it. That's the truth that you found. And you see there is no self in the usual sense. They call this the death of ego in psychological circles. That there is no self in the sense that you thought of yourself as a separate human, and here I am in this world having this life and this is myself. No, not really. That the self is not real. So in stage 9, we have the death of ego or seeing that the self is not real. That you're a consciousness separate from your body, that you can feel the difference between your physical self and your internal consciousness. And at this stage, this is a really cool stage to be in because you don't blame anyone for anything. And you have a sense of your purpose, a sense of it. It may or may not be very well defined in this stage. That's okay. But you start to get a sense of it. And you really have taken responsibility for your own life and your own feelings. And that's a really cool stage to be in. So from that stage, stage 9, where I am a consciousness in this body, the next stage is very cool. And it's where you realize that there is only one consciousness. It's not I am a consciousness in my body and you are a separate consciousness in your body and that guy over there is a separate consciousness in his body. No, there is only one consciousness. And it's the realization that you are an extension of that one consciousness, as is everyone and everything else. And at this stage, you really start to trust your intuition. You begin to listen to your intuition more often. You're training your intuition to tell you what you need to know when you need to know it. You live in the moment much more so. You're not worrying about the future. You're not reliving the past. Blissful indeed. And then ultimately, stage 11, where you move from I am the one consciousness, and then there's this body, this physical form, to I am the one consciousness and the physical manifestation simultaneously, and there is no difference. Stage 11 is amazing. It's E equals MC squared, just to get nerdy about it. Even Einstein saw it. Energy is matter, and there is no difference. The consciousness and the physical body are all of energy. It's all the same. Now, stage 11 is extraordinarily hard to reach and even harder to stay in. If only we could stay in stage 11. It is such a beautiful place. So in this stage, you feel the one consciousness. And here in this human body, experiencing what it's like to be human, because to ignore your humanity would be to kind of miss out on the human experience. But you recognize that you are matter and energy at the same time. And that you can consciously choose to experience the moment as the energy, as the matter, or both. that there is no difference between the energy and the physical. And you can consciously influence your reality to actively build whatever life you want or alter it as your ideal evolves. In this stage, you live in so much purpose and peace and joy, and you connect deeply with yourself, with your loved ones, with friends and strangers, even if that's something that you didn't really do in the past. And you exude peace and joy. It's a peace and joy that make people want to be near you. This is such an amazing stage to be in. And I have been there, and I work every day to get back. And the funny part is working for it is probably not the right answer. It's probably more of a relaxing and allowing as life usually is. but those are the 11 stages. So in this roadmap, and it's very, very long. This might be the longest article I've ever posted, but go look it up. Again, the title of the article is Complete Connection, A Roadmap for Self-Development. This will help you get started. Let's talk about how to use it. The purpose of this roadmap is because I don't want it to take you 12 years to get to stage 11. I don't want it to take you 12 years to get to a place where you're living every day in peace and in joy, not feeling anger, not feeling offense, not feeling fear, where you're actively influencing your life, you are actively pursuing your purpose. This is a beautiful place to be. And I don't want it to take you 12 years to get there. And I don't think it has to, because if I had understood this cycle, I could have gotten there so much faster. And I don't think it would have been 12 weeks, but it certainly wouldn't have been 12 years. I think this can be done maybe within a year or two. I don't know. Prove me wrong. Show me that it can be done even faster. And the more often you can get yourself into these later stages, then the easier it will be to come back around and get into them again. So that's the good news. Don't get me wrong. You're going to get pulled back to earlier stages. Over and over again, it'll be somewhat unavoidable. A really good election cycle will pull you back to stage 5. I am my ideology. Being injured or major surgery can pull you back to stage 3. I am my needs. It just depends, right? But that's okay. But the key is to recognize that and to try to work yourself back towards these later stages. Because in these later stages, there is not fear. There is not anger. There is only joy and peace and just a beautiful, amazing life that you craft for yourself, whatever that looks like for you. And that's where the uniqueness comes in. It's whatever life you want. And everybody wants something different. And that's the cool thing. We can all have something different. But this is how you get there. This is the roadmap. So what I would do is I would go. If you print it out, you're looking at about 20 pages, I think. But you may want to grab the PDF and put it on your favorite device. And I would start at stage 1. The way you use it is start at stage 1. And I know you're like, but I'm not an infant. You know what? We all are. So start at stage 1, because what you want to do is complete any tasks inside each of those stages that you may have not completed. So the roadmap has, for every stage, it has a description of the stage. It has tasks that you need to complete in this stage in order to move on. And it's going to have some recommended books, because there's some great books out there that can help you complete this stage or give you the mindset for the next stage. It's got some discussion of challenges in each stage, just so you know what it's all about. And then it's got some questions to fuel your thinking, to propel you, to accelerate you, to complete that stage and get into the next one. So if you work it from stage 1 forward and do the tasks, think about the questions, maybe read the books if you need an extra boost, then you can accelerate yourself through this. So so think about it there and look it up online. So that's quite a lot for today. Send me your questions. So as you read the roadmap and you go through the roadmap, send in your questions about what you're working on. Send in your questions about the different stages and let me know what I can do to help, because this is what I'm about. This is my purpose, accelerating you through these stages to a beautiful place of peace and joy. Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. And here's to you finding complete connection. Purna Asati.